truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is not... No, now wait just a minute, Mr. Knighting, because this is treading on very deep...
Burger one.
I wish I remembered the name of the...
The last competition! The watermelon competition!
This magistrate in Richland County has
I'm
concluded...
I'm a big boy.
Ass covering.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show here that knows what it's talking about, even though a lot of people don't think we do know what we're talking about, but we think we do. And I guess that's all you need here on a radio show that seeks to provide, I think, a level of truth, justice, and the American way. Does that make me God? Well, no. It's my truth. That's all we're interested in. We quit, man. We quit, you know. I talked to a lady last night on the air, and she said, well, you know what the Tea Party is all about, Phil? And I said, what? And she said, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, I don't mean tea bag. And I said, I know. And she said, no, she said to me, it's about us tired of politics as usual. I said, then why do an anti-tax rally? Why not do a rally where, do something really, different, say, burn Rush Limbaugh and Harry Reid in effigy side by side. So, something that states that you're tired of the two-party system. And then she said, nah, I really don't give a crap about that. I just don't want any of those blacks having my money. And I said, okay. She didn't say that. She said that it was, in point of fact, about taxes. And I said, well, then why don't you cats just burn your tax returns? And she said, well, we're law-abiding people. And I said, well, then I can't help you. I said, but I've got $50. And she said, great, when you get off the air. And I'm kidding about that, too.
God, you're making her sound like a bad person and everything.
I'm just fooling around, man. No, I get it, man. People are tired and sick and fed up. Before you get tired and sick and fed up, can you get just a few more facts? That's all I'm asking. Just get a little more information. You know, and what does it mean if you're against tax? You don't want any taxes. Do you want just so many taxes? Are you tired of this and are you tired of that? And are you sure you're getting all the information? And do you know exactly, you know, why things are happening the way they're happening? And what is the philosophy that guides you? And why are we here? Why did we get as far as we did? Was it because we just had laissez-faire government after laissez-faire government? Everybody sat back and just waited for all the good, cool stuff to happen? Or was there from time to time activist, revolutionary, shall we say, radical kinds of governments, presidents who pushed the envelope? You know, when Reagan came in, I told the story in the air not too long ago. When Reagan came in, the godfather of soul, man, you know, Reagan was the man. He was the El Supremo Grande conservative president. He was a very activist president from the standpoint of the kind of activism that his cats like. You know, he busted a union. One of the first things he did. We talked about this. One of the first things Reagan did when the air traffic. And I got to tell you, I'm a longtime union member. I've been a member of a union since 1978. I've been a shop steward. I've been involved in negotiating contracts. But I kind of liked it. I because I knew the air traffic control strike was very badly timed. And it was time to test this new conservative administration that had come into office. Carter was gone, and the air traffic controllers said, "Yeah, you think Reagan's so you know, he's all of this in a bag of pork rinds? Well, watch us." Or as Boris Karloff said in one movie, "Watch this one." And guess what happened to him? Their union got blown to bits, man. There wasn't enough left of them to stick in a can after Reagan got done with them. He said, "You're fired. And any of you guys who want your jobs back Monday, show up bright and early, 8 o'clock. You're rehired." And that, you know, I don't know how you define activist presidents, but all right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. This hour, Margaret Gray will be joining us, I'm told, right, bud?
Yeah, I got on the phone with her. She's going to be talking about a lot of stuff.
That's great, man. I'm so wonderful to have the guests pinned down like that.
I told her, man, what's she going to talk about? She doesn't want to say. She wants to talk about new stuff.
Well, that's what everybody talks about, man. I'd like to know a little bit. Is it something we've been talking about tonight?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well, isn't that good of her? All right, now, in Texas, in Austin, Texas, the host of the popular KLBJ weekday show, The Todd and Don Show, have been yanked off the air, if you'll pardon the expression, for the next 2 weeks after a backlash to racial comments made about illegal immigrants during a show earlier this week. Station managers on Wednesday said Todd Jeffries and Don Pryor are suspended without pay after Pryor, a co-host, used a derogatory term several times during a discussion about what to call immigrants during a Tuesday morning show. Undocumented workers and illegal immigrants were among the terms used as common examples in the media. Pryor, who said he was making sarcastic comments about racism, so says KXAN Television, they're the guys that wrote this article, not very well, I might add. What do you mean? He said he was making sarcastic comments. You mean satirical? Is that what you guys are getting at? Who said he was making sarcastic comments about racism, used the word wetback dozens of times during the hour-long show as a tongue-in-cheek example of what to call Mexican nationals who enter the country illegally. By the television station KXAN's count, the word was used 34 times. Now, Mr. Jeffries, Todd Jeffries, is also the producer of the show. He co-hosts the show. He didn't say the word. And according to KXAN, and in fact tried to stop Pryor. What? How do they know, man? But was being held responsible for the remarks because manager said he should have done more to stop Pryor. See, Jace, I know you're the producer of the show. You need to do more to stop me, man, from half this crap that I do. And you too, bud.
I can't. You'll hit me.
That's exactly right. Manager said maybe that's what happened. Maybe the guy threatened to hit him. Managers said they have reached out to Austin. Managers. Who are the managers of KBJ, whatever the hell? What are your names? How come you don't name the names? You know, it's a marvelous thing in our industry, in the broadcast industry. I find out about every disc jockey, every on-air host, every talk show host. But when it comes to the program director and the general manager and the guys that are making these decisions, suddenly they're out of town, man, and they can't be reached, huh? Managers said they'd reached out to Austin's Hispanic community, including Austin City Councilman Mike Martinez, in the aftermath of the controversy, which began on Wednesday morning when the U.S. Hispanic Contractors Association, with more than 1,000 members in Central Texas, demanded an apology and threatened to boycott the station's advertisers. Well, now, there you go.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There you go. Yeah, I knew I'd get to it. Threatened to boycott the station's advertisers. So, the truth finally comes out. Sure, they pretend like they care about the minority in the community, the people of color, I believe, as we've called them at times. But really, what it's all about is the ad dollar.
Please don't take the money.
All about money. It's a lot easier to fire a couple of stupid, illiterate, untalented morning show guys, but you don't want to lose that big ad money, man. You don't want that boycott because that is the country club membership. And so here on the Phil Henry Show, in this segment we call Disc Jockeys Must Die, understand that when you say wetback, friend, if it's between you, all right, and the guy that goes out and makes the ad sale to the Las Palmas de Grande Country Club, where he also eats his free meals and most likely uses the rooms there for, shall we say, assignations, if you'll pardon the word, it's the DJ that's going to be on the street, lickety-split, man, if you'll pardon that word. No, 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 no. If you're thinking about getting into this business, you better keep one thing in mind. If it comes down between you and the guy who's running the account for, you know, it's bringing in the big money, your ass is on the street, man. Forget about it. Anyway, an apology issued by Jeffries and Pryor on air on Wednesday did little to placate their concerns. You might as well not apologize. Let me give you a piece of advice. I'm going to give you the truest thing you ever heard in your life. If you say something and they say, uh-oh, you really screwed up and you need to apologize, don't apologize, because you're fired anyway. I guarantee you, you're fired anyway. Unless your name is Rush Limbaugh. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But I wouldn't apologize, because 9 times out of 10, your ass is fired. I swear to God, 9 times out of 10, your ass is fired. What happened to Imus? Look what happened to Imus, okay? Imus went on a national apology tour. Imus, he almost went to the Vatican and apologized to guys that he didn't even need to apologize to. He almost got on his hands and knees in front of the Pope, if you'll pardon the expression. Imus almost, you know, if he'd been bleeding from the palms, it wouldn't have been good enough. And the guy, at the end of the day, he got his ass handed to him. He's out the door. So don't apologize, because it ain't going to save your job, man. Forget it. Even if your wife at home is saying, you've got to apologize out of here because you're not going to... Honey, I can apologize. It doesn't matter. You might as well have a little bit of self-respect, a little dignity intact, okay? And just say, I'm leaving. Well, you're going to apologize. No, I'm not going to apologize because you're going to fire me anyway. Well, that's not true. Oh, bull crap. You're going to fire me anyway. I will fire you if you don't apologize. Okay, well, I'm not apologizing. There, that cuts down the time between today and tomorrow when you were going to apologize to me after you, or where you were going to fire me after you said to me, you know, the apology wasn't good enough. I know how this thing plays out. So good luck to you two guys there in Austin. You know, you'll get another job, man. Everybody gets fired in this business, okay? Even general managers and program directors, and that's a lot of fun to watch. So you'll be around long enough to see it. All right, do I sound like I've got a real thing? You know how guys in the Army, you often hear guys in the Army say that they hate officers? Well, it's the same thing in broadcasting, you know. If you're on air, you hate the suits. You just hate them. It's a law. You got to hate them. You don't love a suit. You can't love a radio or TV suit and be any good on the air. So just remember that. All right, we're going to come back with some phone calls here on the Phil Henry Show, so we finally dispense with these two poor bastards. Just remember what I told you, because I can't. All right, coming back. Oh, you know what else I wanted to throw in the middle of that was that Bruno bullcrap. You know Bruno, the gay character that Sacha Baron Cohen is playing on screen in the movie theaters? Apparently they banned his gay ass from the Ukraine because the movie they think is offensive. But I wanted to make this point about Bruno. It's funny how the media has misread the meaning of that film, because they say he's satirizing gay people. No, he's not. He's satirizing the way gay people are reacted to. He's satirizing the people that react to gay people. But if you got to explain it, I guess it doesn't make any difference. Perez?
I'm a big boy.
That's good enough. All right, we'll be back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back as the Pentagon tries to take cigarettes away from soldiers. That ain't gonna happen on the world famous Phil Henry Show. I am flying.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
All right, coming up, I mentioned the Pentagon. Somebody went to the Pentagon and said, you know, we should ban smoking in the military. And the Pentagon said, are you nuts? This is the one time I've ever heard of anyone saying to a no-smoking activist, you can take that and you can park it, because it isn't going to happen because these are soldiers, because they're out and they're getting ready to die. And you don't mind if they have a cigarette. Even a condemned man gets a cigarette. And you guys are trying to take cigarettes away from these guys. It isn't going to happen, okay? Go back to, you know, Calabasas, man, where you had some success. It's a world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the only show that knows what it's talking about. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Out here at El Pacifico, we are live tonight as we are each and every night on our website at www.philhenryshow.com in video, in living color. And I'm going to look at the screen right now because I haven't seen myself lately. Boy, is he ugly. Yep. There I am in my studio talking and yakking. The shirt's open just, you know, below the neck, a little bit of chest hair. I don't know. It turns on some of the...
gaze.
And the gaze. Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing, man. Well, it's hot in here. And our number again, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget at Twitter, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. That's where our Twitter account is. You can follow us over there as well. Here is Scotty in Memphis, Tennessee. Scotty, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Phil. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, man.
Thanks, man. You know, you mentioned about the record gun sales and permits earlier, and I don't know if Obama wants to take our gun rights or away or not, and who knows. But from my experience and who I've talked to and my friends and whatnot, it seems like to me the record gun sales are because he was elected and because more than likely he would appoint someone into the, you know, Supreme Court justice as a justice, you know, that may lean that way. And I just, you know, kind of wonder how you felt about that. I've got a friend that works at a machine shop here near Memphis, and there's only four employees, and that includes the owner, and they went to making 45 caliber guns, and they're making them by the hundreds now.
I know. And we heard last month that ammunition was flying off the shelves, and I talked to guys from the NRA And even the NRA, as anti-Obama as they are, and they're not really anti-Obama, they have the same fear that you have. Even the NRA admitted that the ammunition was coming off the shelves because of two things, panic buying, and the military also needs ammo, and the military gets it before anybody else. As far as Obama and judges, and I, you know, again, it's all what you want out of your life. Do you want the straight stuff, or do you want to just listen to people? When you put a judge on the Supreme Court of the United States, they may have ruled a certain way in the past, but every judge has to look at every new case that comes before them. A judge is only really as good, if you want, as the last case they looked at. And as I said, there's precedent for so-called conservative judges leaning in a liberal way. There's precedent for liberal judges leaning conservative. Sotomayor might have expressed an opinion on a case at a time in the past. That doesn't mean she's going to rule that way in the present. And I can just tell you, if you know this country as an American as well as I do, there's no president and no court that's going to take any guns away from anybody. It is going to, even talking to Marcus Melitus over at Daily Coast, which is one of the most liberal sites in the world, even Marcus, who's an Army veteran, said, we've moved past that issue, man. There's no gun control.
I'm sorry. Was there not a vote about a year ago around July? And you have to help me on this because I know you know more about it than I do. But around July of 08, was there not a vote that had regards to our gun laws that was a 5-4 vote in the Supreme Court?
It had. Well, there's the D.C. vote, which actually there was the D.C. Ban on guns, which was overturned by the Supreme Court. And they said, no, the citizens of the city do have a right to private gun ownership.
That's
there was a vote
that, yeah.
Yeah, but that ban, that city ban, and as you know, we've had citywide bans against guns since the days of the Wild West, you know, since the Earp brothers,
Memphis,
you know, when they
I hope it never happens here.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want people to feel that this is a reality in this country. I don't believe it's going to happen, and there's no judicial precedent for it. There's no popular, certainly there's no, the society isn't leaning that way. Obama has stated several times he's not interested in that. Some people say that's campaign rhetoric, but I believe that he knows he's not that stupid. What the hell does he want? He's going to hang his presidency on taking guns away from people in the middle of an era where we have people walking into churches and blasting away? Forget it, man.
Right.
No
well,
way.
I certainly hope you're right, and that's for sure. And I enjoy your show very much. And first time the very first time I talked to you, you put me on the line with a guy that got his pleasure from watching Middle Eastern women being abused after he watched Pelosi on TV. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was that nut Vernon Dozier. Yeah.
That was me who called in.
Okay. All right, brother. Thanks for calling. See you later. Who was that?
Yeah, that was Vernon Dozier and everything.
That's right. He was so angry at Pelosi that he had to go and watch Middle Eastern women getting stoned so that would get out his anger. All right, let's go over here to Conrad in Minneapolis. Conrad, what is going on tonight with you, man?
Oh, hey, Phil, how's it going? Love your show. I used to only
thank
catch
you
when I was doing overtime, but now they switch shifts, so now I catch you every night.
Cool.
Yep. Hey, on the one thing on with the guns, he really doesn't have to do much because if you listen to the questioning on Sotomayor, you know, when they asked about self-defense, she didn't even want to answer that today.
She won't. You know, they're not. They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
You're right. Because it could. It would set a thing.
Yeah. Okay. You know, the only thing you want a judge's opinion on something. Watch how they rule on a specific case that they have written an opinion on, that they have conferred on. That's where you're going to find out where a judge is. But you're only going to find out where she's at on that case.
Yeah, but you're not going to find that because she's run some pretty short summaries. So if she did decide on something like that, you wouldn't know about it because it would be like a sentence, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is they generally one judge will write the opinion for either the majority or the minority, but the fact is, no judge, and it should ever be asked those questions. They're asked
You're so
right. that the senator can get his jollies, and that no judge worth their salt is ever going to answer those questions. Yeah,
you know? You're correct because it would set up. But now, hey, I kind of talked to your the screener, but I told him, listen, when Obama was running, you know, and I was pulling up all this, You know, and you know, you got to remember, I was first shift, so I'm listening to a lot of Limbaugh and everything else. But so, you know, and you know, but I did my own investigation on it, kind of, you know, what I can do is, you know, myself in front of the computer or reading books. And I'll tell you, everything that led me to think Obama is a socialist was put 10 times fold when he was put in the office.
Mm-hmm.
On everything. You know, mm-hmm. and for King, when he said, hey, you know, listen, everything that a socialist is happening right now. I think
everything that a socialist is, everything that a socialist is, has happened in other administrations as well. I got to take a break. We'll be back. Thanks for your call, Phil Henry. Margaret Gray next.
Phil Henry.
Why are you disrespecting me?
You son of a bitch.
Phil Hendry Show.
Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, we broadcast from the El Pacifico out here at El Pacifico Studios here on the farthest western edge of this thing called America. And we have coming up with us next Margaret Gray, who will be talking about the Pentagon's proposal to ban smoking. Well, no, the Pentagon wasn't proposing it. Some jackasses. Bud, who is it?
Let me see this. There's some jack ball.
Yeah, I got it.
Some guy, here, let me look.
Give it to me, I'll look. I don't know. All right, 877, anyway, Margaret will be on, she'll explain it to us. 877-876-PHIL, let's go to Patty in Sonora, California. Patty, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Phil, from the world's famous
Hi, Patty.
Motherlode country of the gold, and you're famous in my world.
Cool.
I would love to know your opinion on what the California legislature is proposing to legalize pot to help our budget.
Well, there's one, Tom Amiano, who we spoke with, has a proposal to legalize weed.
He's
and I support it.
From
I support
San Francisco.
It. But yeah, yeah, I support it, and I don't know, I haven't really followed, I've always assumed that its chances are thin to none. We've got legal weed, right, legal pharmaceutical weed. I support legalizing marijuana. Today, the report in the weed feed that I subscribe to on Twitter said it'd be about a $1.4, $1.5 billion in taxes for the state today if we legalize marijuana.
Well, what do you tell all the kids, sir? I have got two kids entering high school.
The same thing I tell them about when it comes to alcohol. It's not for you. This has got nothing to do with children. This is an adult discussion about recreational use of a recreational drug among adults. Children don't get to have it. And the other thing to that end, we have to discuss where you can smoke weed. Do you smoke it in the house? I don't think you should be allowed to be around children. I think that there should be clubs where marijuana is smoked. I don't think there's any home use of it if there's children. I don't think there's any use in the car, obviously. I think the legal use of weed should be confined to clubs or places where there are adults only, because the secondhand smoke of pot is quite obviously going to be injurious to a child. And I think it should be a heavy crime if you smoke it around kids. But as far as the influence, if there's kids listening right now, teenagers, this is not a discussion for them. They're children. They don't get to partake in this discussion. They don't get to smoke pot the same way they don't get to drink alcohol. That's what I would say.
I'm on the fence about it because we teach our kids in school that, you know, it's a drug. It's a gateway drug. And, of course,
it's not a gateway drug. That's absurd. And that's such a terrible thing to teach kids because it's not true. And it's a holdover from a terrible era in the 30s when the initial information about marijuana was completely wrong. It was pushed by a drug czar by the name of Harry Anslinger, a good man by the name of LaGuardia, who was the mayor of New York and commissioned his own study and concluded that it was not in any way, shape, or form a narcotic and didn't belong in the same category. And his report for the city of New York was quashed. Anslinger's was pushed. And we've been living with the result of that for 60-some years. It is not a gateway drug. I talked to Senator McCain, who expressed that opinion. And because he's a nice guy and an older guy, and I didn't want to disagree with him, he's wrong. It's just flat wrong. It is not a gateway drug.
What sentence would you use to describe it?
It's a drug. It's a sedative, hypnotic, a depressant, like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's it.
And we should open bars to come to smoke the
pot. I think if we're going to legalize weed, if we're going to legalize marijuana, I think it has to be regulated so as to keep the secondhand smoke away from children. Only adults, only sold to adults. If you smoke it around kids where the secondhand smoke can be, you know, inhaled by children, or any a crime involving giving it to kids or kids smoking it, this is a felony, F-E-L-O-N-Y, felony.
How about driving? What about driving?
Of course, the same laws of the same laws apply to alcohol. No driving under the influence if you're impaired. If your driving is impaired, it's the result of you smoking marijuana. If your driving's impaired, you can get if you drive in a manner that a police officer says you are driving recklessly or in an impaired manner, you're arrested. You know that, right?
Well, sure. Even
now,
if
he finds that, then it doesn't matter whether you have alcohol in your system.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if you have alcohol. You can you can still be arrested. So now, if they find marijuana in the system, and however they test for that is, you know, then you are driving under the influence and you're arrested. So I don't see any difference between handling drug offenders the same way you handle alcohol abusers, and that is with a the penalties that we have right now. But if you want to deal with drugs and the problem of drugs, it's a problem of addiction and it's a problem of abuse. It's a problem of brain chemistry. It doesn't have anything to do with this, that, or something else. Alcoholic is an alcoholic. A drug addict is a drug addict. And their problem is distinct from an individual who's a recreational user of drugs. And we're not going to even begin to discuss this seriously until we get that. Patty, thanks so much for your call. I'm going to go on here to John in Mesa, Arizona. John, what's going on? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Phil, how's it going? I just want to say hello
Fine.
To everybody else. But,
thank you.
The other part about that is not only can we tax marijuana, but the simple fact that all the money people spend on it, when this is something we could grow in our own backyards and stuff, and, you know, in certain sections, it's just the fact that all that money spent on it, besides the tax alone, is, I mean, the tax is one part of it, but the fact that all this other money people spend on it will go back in the economy.
Ass covering.
If they could grow it themselves.
Yeah, right. That's true. But the problem with growing it yourself is that you're going to be subject to the federal government coming in and wanting their federal tax. And if you're growing it, it's almost like moonshining, you know? It'll be like moonshining. I mean, unless you're growing such a small amount, it doesn't matter. But if anybody starts getting a grow room going with a legalized marijuana, with legalized marijuana, and the federals want their money, and they find you with a grow room and you ain't paying any federal tax, you're going to have a whole new crew of revenuers going around and burning plants because, you know, the same way they were busting up stills and still do. All right, thanks for your call, John. Let's get Margaret on here. Margaret Gray from Santa Monica, California. We're going to talk about this push, very, very brief, and it didn't amount to much, Margaret, on trying to get cigarettes banned?
Yes, Phil. Cigarettes banned from use in the military. And, by the way, very fascinating discussion that you're having this evening on the use of it skipped my mind.
Marijuana.
No, not marijuana. What you were just talking about right now.
Yeah, we were talking about marijuana.
No, I know that, but it was something else. On the use of
What do I want?
Frank, what was Phil just talking about?
Marijuana.
No, beside that.
That's all I was talking about.
You were talking about the legal use of something.
Marijuana. That's what I was talking about.
No. God. Oh, I know, alcohol. You said...
What do you mean alcohol? I was talking about marijuana. The legalization of marijuana.
No, you were talking about how it should be regulated the same way as alcohol. That's it, yeah.
Are you nuts or something? He was talking. I heard him.
Frank, No, I thought that was interesting the way you said that, so I wanted to... By the way, Phil, did you see the Michael Jackson video of his head in flames? And I don't want to be crude, but did you see this?
I did see it, and it was... I have to be honest with you. It was... It made me laugh.
I beg your pardon?
I said it made me laugh. I heard everybody telling me that I should be disturbed.
It made you laugh. You thought it was funny to see a man's... You thought it was funny to see a man's head in flames that way. Mm-mm. You really did.
Margaret, the way it was described was that it was going to be really disturbing and really horrible, and the dude has got his hair on fire, and he's doing a 360, and there's smoke coming off his head. I thought I was looking at, you know, the Crazy World of Arthur Brown or something.
I'm not familiar with that. You thought it was fun. Larry King right now is laughing his... He's laughing his pruned-up ass off at that video footage, and you agree with King.
No, Margaret...
You agree with King, don't you?
I agree with King. That was the funniest damn thing.
No one's asking you, Frank, are they? No one's asking you, Frank, are they?
But we're here to talk, though, about smoking in the military.
No, I want to be clear. Did you laugh your ass off when you... Oh, look at that. Marsha Clark had the mole removed. Did you...
Would you just tell me what it is you want to talk about with the military so that we can move on from the discussion of Michael Jackson and whether it was, you know, you find it distasteful that I laughed, okay, but I'm telling you, looking at that video after hearing everybody, you better, you know, this is very disturbing, and the guy's doing twirling around with smoke coming off his head, you didn't laugh?
I most certainly did not laugh. I wept. I cried as he danced down those steps unaware. God, I hope you go to hell when you die.
Excuse me?
Nothing. Phil, I wept. When I watched Michael Jackson dance down those steps with smoke curling from his head, I thought to myself what a terribly, terribly difficult life he's going to have from this point forward, because I knew, looking at that, I knew, from that day forward, it was one trip to the Broadway wig counter after another.
Well, Margaret, I...
No, it's all right. Yes, the Pentagon, Phil. They want to take cigarettes away from soldiers, and I heard that you're not very keen on this, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not very keen on it at all. These are our soldiers, and I think that we treat them just a little bit differently, and we allow them some of the... Yes, even some of the pleasurable poisons of life that others might not get, because theirs is a very long and tough road to hoe. So, no, I wasn't keen on it.
Well, let me tell you something that I did back when I was an actress. As you know, I started out acting in episodic television back in the 60s. And I was on a show called Tail Gunner. It was a war TV series. It was about combat pilots in Europe during World War II.
What network?
It was on ABC. And it was called Tail Gunner. And I played this sort of American ingenue. Who was in England working as a dancer and working as a... doing burlesque in London when the war breaks out. And suddenly I realize what my true calling is, and I volunteer as a nurse in a hospital there where the different pilots are coming in for a landing, and a lot of them are very wounded and so on and so forth.
Okay, so this is the TV show?
Yes.
Well, a lot of actors will say, well, I play a character. You're saying you played, so for a minute there.
No, I wasn't in World War II. I think that's fun. You think I look old enough to have been in World War II?
No, I was confused for a minute. So you play an actress. I mean, you're an actress.
I was an actress, yes, playing a character. Now, in the TV show Tail Gunner, which, by the way, was off the air within 13 episodes, because someone thought that the name was suggestive, and I found that to be so offensive because I don't think we did anything in that TV show beyond what you would expect of an episodic television program sexually.
Well, what happened in the TV? What? Suggestive, huh?
Yes.
Why?
Get a load of him, huh?
You don't know why? Tail Gunner.
They found the name Tail Gunner to be suggestive?
Some of the advertisers, yes.
All right, so this has to do with smoking.
Yes, it does, because in one of the scripts, my character, her name is Sally, and Sally decides to take one of the pilots to bed, because that's the kind of big-hearted girl she was. She wasn't a slut, per se. She just had a big heart, and the pilots would find solace with her. And it was very... I would say it was very trend-setting and groundbreaking in that... In any given one-hour episode, there might be three or four.
Wow.
Yes, it really did push the envelope. Well, in one of the scenes, Sally and her lover, who's a pilot that has just come back from bombing the suburbs of Berlin, and they They go to bed. And afterward, the director says, now light a cigarette, because that's what people do after they have sex. And I said, you know what? Let's try something different. Let's eat some celery sticks. Because even then, I was very healthy. And he looked at me, and he looked at Van Glee, who was the star of the program, and then looked, and Van looked at me, and the director looked at me, and Van Glee, who was the star of the program, looked at me, and then the director looked at me, and then Van Glee.
Yeah, Van Glee looked at you, and the director. Van Glee, that was the name of the guy, huh?
What guy?
The star.
Yes, yes, that was the star of the show. And they said, what do you mean? And, of course, this was before health food. I said, let's eat, instead of after he and I get done, we eat celery sticks. And Van Glee looked at me and got up and went to his dressing room. And that's when I knew he wasn't going to argue with me. And the director didn't want to argue with me. So we ate celery sticks. And the next week they canceled the show. But not because of that.
Because of the tail gunner name.
Yeah. So what we did was we set a precedent in the program that instead of smoking after sex, and we were coated in sweat, the script called for a very intense, the script actually said, Sally and Roy, the pilot, get into it hot and heavy, sweat everywhere. And then it says the two characters light cigarettes. And I said, what about celery sticks? And there it was. It said, two characters light, and then they crossed out cigarettes, and they wrote in celery sticks.
The two characters light celery sticks.
No, they didn't light celery sticks.
Well, you said that's what it said in the... All right, so what was the upshot of this?
What upshot? Well, that was my contribution to not smoking.
Yeah, but it didn't find its way into the military, so... All right, so you...
But it was a program about the military. It's called Tail Gunner. And it was canceled because of the name, not because of the celery sticks.
Well, I didn't hear that. I heard the celery stick was the last straw for Van Glee. You know I was his agent.
Well, no, it wasn't the last straw for Van Glee, because I went on to have a year-long relationship with him before I met you, Frank. Frank, go to hell. Drop dead and shut your cake hole.
I'm telling you, Van Glee.
I've never heard of Van Glee.
Well, Van Glee's never heard of you.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, because he's dead. I'm kidding, Phil. But that was a really, it was a great time.
Well, all right. Congratulations, Margaret, on at least that moment there with the TV show on ABC, Tail Gunner.
Yeah, starring Van Glee.
Starring Van Glee.
I gotta look it up on Amazon.
Yeah, you do that, man. It's Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to. The script says they light celery sticks.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you laughing at me?
Time now for the stories that we couldn't get to here in a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A German, who tried to fix his leaky air mattress, blew up his apartment instead.
What an idiot!
The fire brigade in the western city of Dusseldorf said on Wednesday that the 45-year-old man used a tire repair solvent to plug a hole in his airbed and left it overnight. But it blew up when he went to inflate it the next day. A spark from the electric air pump ignited it, according to a fire brigade spokesman. The blast pushed his living room wall into the building's stairwell and caused extensive damage to walls, windows, and furniture. Firefighters evacuated the 12-apartment building and a neighboring housing block while they checked for structural damage. No one was seriously injured. Wow. Lucky they got out of that one, man. In Hillsboro, Missouri, want to spend a night in jail? And how about paying for the privilege? Well, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department in eastern Missouri has come up with a novel way to pay for mattresses at a new jail addition. Officials are offering the public a chance to stay overnight on July the 31st at the recently finished addition for $50 a person and $90 a couple. People can tour the new facility, learn more about jail, and stay overnight. They'll receive Jefferson County bed and breakfast t-shirts, snacks, and souvenir mugshots. Cool idea. Also included is a get-out-of-jail-free card. Those who want to leave early have to give another $10. Proceeds benefit the jail's maintenance fund. God, it's like bake sales, man. That's what we're having to do now, to pay for stuff. In Maple Heights, Ohio, the band's managers wanted to meet with an Ohio heavy metal fan who said he's listened to the latest Judas Priest album every day for more than a year. Jim Bartak of Maple Heights said that's a lot of listening when you consider the album Nostradamus is an hour and 45 minutes long. But the 49-year-old truck stop employee said you can hear it over and over and always hear something new. So a Cleveland radio station, WJCU, has been tracking Bartek's streak since the 30th day, a month after the album was released in June 2008. Judas Priest was scheduled to perform in Cleveland on Tuesday, and Bartek has received a third-row ticket. The band has released a statement thanking him for his support, and the management says it wants to see him after the show.
What do you figure?
Well, you got to be on some mixture of chemicals, man, to be listening to a Judas Priest album every day, an hour and 45 minutes for a year. Unless, of course, the guy figured he was setting some kind of a record and that maybe Judas Priest would invite him to a show and he'd be asked backstage by the band's management, which happens to be, you know,
male.
Probably all men. All right, that's it for our stories we didn't get to. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our producer is Jason Rance. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. And don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com, for our live streaming, video, audio, and downloads.
Phil Henry.